God bless you all on tonight, our breakthrough service gathering. I want you to be so excited, not emotionally, but spiritually. Even as we're on this last day of March, understand that March is not a month per se. It is not just a set time or set season. March is our mantra, it's our declaration, it is our command to march to the beat of the sound of the drum of the kingdom in our mind, in our mouth, in our movement. And even though this may be the last day of the physical month of March, it is not the last day for you to keep marching. So I want you to understand the power of your movement, the power of you marching, the power of your obedience, the power of following instructions. And we're going to get deeper into that on tonight. So I need you to pay close attention, because we're going to keep it simple, short, and sweet on tonight, but very intentional, so that you can see how the power of agreement can get you to your set place of purpose, your set place of power, your set place of one word, two syllables better. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you and honor you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence one more time to learn greater insight and understanding and revelation of what your word says and how we are to apply it to our lives, so that we can live and be one word, two syllables better every day in every way. And we thank you in advance for that. It's going to come out from this time of gathering, and that is for us to walk in the fullness of what you have called for us to do, be, have, and to become in this set time, this set season, this set day, this set hour. We declare, we decree it, and so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I welcome each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight as we have been inside of this series that God is not just allowing us to do one month of, but to be on continuation, so that we can understand that our very foundation is going to be built upon the power of partnership. Just to take it back before we move into our actual scripture for tonight, you could not even enter into the kingdom in and through Christ unless you partner with him by accepting him in your heart as your Lord and Savior. That was the power of partnership. And now that you are in partnership in and through Christ, now it's time for you to operate according to your part. It's time for you to do further of the possible, so that you can see the impossible made manifest. If you thought this life of what we call Christianity, this life of kingdom, was going to happen to you, you are mistaken. This life of kingdom is meant to happen through you because of your partnership of Christ being within you. It has to happen within you, because that's where Christ dwells. You are the temple. You are the vessel. You are the conduit that he's looking to flow through, not flow to, but to flow through, so that you can be the representative, you can be the example, you can be the duplication, you can be the joint heir of a child of the Most High King, a king of under the King of Kings, a Lord under the Lord of Lords. And so tonight we're going to take it further in our series, The Power of Agreement. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage, and we're going to break this passage down and see, how do we apply this to our set life? How do we make this relevant for the right here and the right now? Even though this scripture and passage is in the Old Testament, we're going to see, how does this apply to us in the new covenant? How does it apply to us in the new millennium, in the new decade? How do we take the word of God and make it applicable in our lives right here and right now? So let's go right into it. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 22. We're going to go from around 22:1 all the way down to 19. Genesis 22:1 to 19. And this very familiar passage, so I could set it up for you, is about Abraham and the biggest testing of his life, and that was to sacrifice his very own son, his very own child, the very one that he prayed for decade after decade, to even after childbearing years, that he still did not see the full manifestation of, and getting to that point, getting the manifestation, and now having to sacrifice the very thing that he waited so long for. So let's get right into it, and we're going to go by this line by line. I'm going to read it, then we're going to go right back through it. And it reads, after all of this, God tested Abraham. God said, Abraham, he replied, yes, I'm listening. He said, take your dear son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will point out to you. Abraham then got up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young servants and his son Isaac. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had directed him. And on the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. 3 days, he's still not there. Abraham then told his two servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship, and then we will come back. Pay close attention. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, gave it to his son. Wow, look at that. You're going to carry your own wood to be sacrificed upon. He carried the flint and the knife, and the two of them went off together. This shows the power of agreement. Isaac then said to his father, Father, yes, my son, we have wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham said, son, God will see to it that there is a sheep. Pay attention. There's a sheep for the burnt offering. And they kept on walking how? Together in unity, in partnership, in agreement. They then arrived at the place to which God directed him. Abraham built an altar. He laid out the wood. He then tied up Isaac and laid him there on the wood. Abraham reached out and took the knife to kill his son. And just, somebody say, just then immediately, an angel called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, two times, the power of agreement, the power of confirming. Yes, I'm listening. Help in that sense. Don't lay a hand on that boy. Do not touch him. Now we know how fearlessly you love God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son at that, on the altar for me. Abraham then looked up. He saw a ram caught in the horn by its horn in the thicket or the bush. Abraham took the ram, sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham named that place God Jireh, God sees to it. That's where we get the saying on the mountain of God that he will see to it. Then the angel spoke to him from heaven a second time and said to him, Abraham, I swear that God's word is sure. And because you have gone through this and you have not refused to give me your son, your dear, dear son, I will bless you. Oh, how I will bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches, and your descendants will defeat their enemies. And all, somebody shout all nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham went back to his young servants. They got together and they returned to Beersheba. Abraham settled down there. Now we're going to go back and walk through this because there's so much to unpack and so much to imply. I'm going to say that again. There's so much to unpack, which means so much to learn. Even if you have already learned it, there's fresh revelation that's going to be given unto you. And then there is application that we can do so that we can have further revelation to see the manifestation that God has in store for us right here and right now. So the first verse talks about after all of this, God tested Abraham. Now, this is the most significant of it all because what happened in chapter 21 was very significant. Abraham was going through a lot of drama. Pastor Blue calls it stress induced by drama. There was so much drama going on because before he received a promise, before Abram and Sarai received the promise of Isaac, Sarah was beyond the time of childbirth. So they felt like God's promise was not going to come to pass the way that he said it. They took measures and matters in their own hand. Sarai told him to go sleep with his handmaiden Hagar and to produce a child for them to be able to produce the promise. They interfered with what God had predestined before them before their set time. And because of this, when Isaac came, now Ishmael, who was the son of their doing, out of their reasoning, out of their logic, out of their flesh, it put them in a place where now the boys were at odds. Now, it wasn't Isaac to Ishmael. Ishmael, but Ishmael was teasing and making fun of Isaac. Sarai got so mad that he said, cast them out of this land. Send them away to never be a part of our family again. Not only that, then there was so much other drama going on with Abimelech. Someone was taking water from the well where it wasn't enough to go around. They were trying to get to the bottom of who was doing that. And now here it is, Hagar, the very one or the handmaiden that Sarai at that time sent her husband Abram to go sleep with, now has to be charged out of the land into the desert to be away from their once happy family. All of this happening, all this drama, and on top of that, God comes along and tests Abraham. Now, I know in Abraham's mind, he's saying, God, don't you see that I am knee deep inside of this drama? Don't you see all of these issues? Don't you see all of these obstacles and challenges I'm facing? Why would you test me right here, right now? Why don't you think that my plate is already full? Why do you think that I need anything more to be able to have to navigate through? Isn't it something how even when you think that you have come to the end of you being able to handle anything else, that's the most time that you are tested? That's the time where you are tested to either push forward, to break through, or to break down. It is not by happenstance that God chose to test him at this very time. It was very strategic because he was either going to do one or the two. Either the trauma that he was going through with his wife, his first child, his mother, the people of the land, that was going to cause him to break down because he couldn't be able to take anything else on, or he was going to allow this to be his breakthrough moment. Somebody shout, this is my breakthrough moment. You didn't come this far to break down. You didn't come this far to give up. You didn't come this far to let go. There is something better that God has on the other side of your test. So Abraham answered, God, I'm listening. In essence, he did not reject God. He did not say, God, I got too much. Come back to me about a month from now when I got all this sorted out, when I got a happy wife because I got a happy life, a wife now. He said, I'm listening. What do you have to tell me? He said, take your son. Now, listen to this. He just sent his first son away for good, that he was no longer a part of their immediate family. So now he's left with just Isaac. Now God is testing him, telling him, the son that you have left in your possession, whom you love, I want you to go to the land of Moriah, sacrifice him there, and there use him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will point you to. Now, isn't it something that, number one, God told him to sacrifice the very thing that he waited decades upon decades upon decades to even receive, and then God comes and says, give me the very thing that I have given back to you. It makes God look like he's an Indian giver. It makes God look like he's a man that he does lie. It looks makes God look like he is not a man of his word. But you got to pay close attention to the purpose of this test. So he says, I'm going to point out the mountain. So in essence, I'm giving you instructions that looks like I'm going to take back what I promised you, even beyond your ability to be able to go through this because of your wife and her age. Then I'm going to tell you to go to a place that I didn't even give you the full directions on how to get there. I'm just telling you to go get your child, give your child's life, and I'll direct you as you go. And then it says, Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled up his donkey, took two servants and his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, set out for the place God had directed him. Even though there wasn't full directions, there was just the way or the direction to go in. In essence, he didn't give him the final destination. He said, I'm gonna point you to the mountain as you go. And then it says, on the third day, can you imagine 3 days journey? And then he was able to see the place in the distance, which means he still hadn't arrived. This one may look like torture to many people. God, this is not fair. God, this is not right. God, I don't deserve this. God, I'm better than this. God, don't you know who I am? I'm your servant. I'm the one who loves you. I'm the one who's made other sacrifices. God, I'm the one who shows up for every call. I'm the one who shows up for every service. I'm the one who fasts and prays. God says that he told his servant, stay here, and I'm going to go over there to worship with my son. But watch this. He said, then we will be back. So what does this let you know? That when you understand the power of God's promises, it is attached to a process. And many people will shout, dance, and rejoice over the promises because the promises are yes and amen. But they will reject the process And when you reject the process, you reject the blessing that is attached to it, because you are the blessed. So therefore, blessings have to come back to you. But if you see yourself void of what you would consider blessings, void of the manifestation of the better life, there are sets of instructions that you have not been following, because those instructions look like it was going to be the death of you. It looked like it was going to be too much. It looked like it was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. But God said, on the contrary, the reason why I tested Abraham, because I know Abraham wouldn't give me back lip like most of you. He wouldn't tell me his resume and what he's did and how he believed so long. And God, how could you? And God, what do you want to get out of this? Every single thing that God said, he immediately did. He didn't ask questions. He just followed the instructions. How many of you can say that, God, if you say it, I believe it and I will do it, without interference, without making a plan before the plan, without having to pray and fast 100 times to get 20 confirmations just to make sure that I heard your voice? Interjection here. You have to understand that, especially in this set time, this set day, this set hour, this new normal that we are experiencing, you will understand the voice of God greater and greater as you mature in him, because his voice won't sound like your voice. His voice will sound like the opposite of your religion. It will sound like the opposite of your reasoning. It will sound like the opposite of your logic. It will sound like the opposite of your comfortability and your familiarity. Matter of fact, these will be sure set signs that you know that it's God, because he's asking you to do something that seems sacrificial. He's asking you to do something that seems like it's going to take the best of you and you may not make it from it. He's asking you to do something out of your familiarity. He's asking you to do something out of your comfort zone. Because let me tell you, if you're just looking for comfort in God, you will not get to your place of better. God never called for us to be comfortable, but he called for us to be completed. Your completion comes from you being in unfamiliar situations. Your completion comes from you being in a place where you don't feel fully comfort. Matter of fact, you feel very vulnerable. You feel like, God, I have to hear your voice, because I'm telling you, if I miss one step, this is going to be the end of it. But he says, if you listen to me, there is something that is attached to your process, and that is a ram in the bush for you. So he took the wood, he took the offering, he took his son. Now remember, he told his two servants, we will be back. He trusted God enough that even though God didn't even tell him that there was a ram in the bush, he already knew that God couldn't do this. God surely isn't an Indian giver. God is surely a man of his word. God is a promise keeper. You got to understand that if God gives you a promise, you got to know that he's a promise keeper. He's not an Indian giver. He's a promise keeper. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. If he gives you a promise, he's going to keep it. The key thing is, will you keep up with your part? Will you keep up with the process? Will you keep up to listening to the sound of his voice? That doesn't sound like your reason. That doesn't sound like your logic. That's the part that we have to sharpen and mature inside of, is doing our part and paying attention and then listening and applying what we heard. Abraham took all of these things. He took his son, gave his son the wood to carry, which seemed cruel as well. We're going to the place to sacrifice you, and you're going to have to carry the wood that you're going to have to lay on to be sacrificed. I'm going to carry the flint and the knife. And they went off together. The power of agreement. Though I know his heart may have been heavy, though he may not fully understood, though he may not even like that God chose this to be the lesson for him to learn, he still got in agreement with his son, and they worked in the power of partnership, the power of agreement. Isaac said to Abraham, Father, I see the flint, I see the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham said, Son, God will see that there is a sheep for the burnt offering. And they kept on walking together. No back lip, no going back and forth, no carrying on. They just followed the instructions. And finally, they arrived at the place which God directed them. See, they didn't know where they was going. That's why they had to listen to the sound and the beat of the drum and march to it, because it didn't sound like familiarity. GPS couldn't get them there. Their remembrance of how mom and them did it couldn't get them there. They had to listen to him step by step, play by play. And then he reached out after they built the altar. He laid him on the wood. He tied his very own son up. I don't know about you, but this can only be done in and through the power of spirit. Because in your mind, you will be mad as fire. In your mind, you will say, God, this is cruel. God, why would you do this to me? God, don't you understand how long it took for me to get this promise? He did everything that God instructed him to the point where he had the knife out, lifted it up, ready to put it inside of his son's chest like a dagger or like a target or bullseye on a target board. And just then an angel called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He called him two times. That means he confirmed so that he know that he know that he know that he heard the voice of an angel and not just his reason, not just his emotion. He said, yes, I'm listening. The angel said, don't you dare lay a hand on that boy. Don't touch him. Back up. Now we know that you fearlessly fear your God and you didn't even hesitate to place your son, your dear son who you love, on the altar for me. I want to ask you the question, what is it that you are willing to sacrifice that will look like it will cost you everything, that will look like that it will take you out of here, that will look like you're not going to make it past this, that will look like God's system is not fair, that will look like it will leave you heartbroken. God is saying, if you are willing to follow my instructions beyond your place of comfort, beyond your place of tradition, if you follow my lead without hesitating to ask, is this me? Or God, do I have to? Or God, can you choose someone else? Or God, can you do it in a different way? When you're able to immediately follow his sound and apply the information, apply the instructions, he said he will give you further instructions on how he will interject and make a way out of no way, how he will make a division in the midst of a Red Sea where it looks like it's raging, where it looks like you're going to die in it. He said he will make a way out of no way where it looks like you've been in this situation all your life and don't seem like there's a way out, so you need to go ahead and bake that cake and die. He said, no, I specialize in bringing life. There is no death inside of me. So anything that looks sacrificial, that looks like it's going to be your last, it's going to take you out of here, you have to know that anything that God asks you to do is for you to live and for you to have the abundant life, the Zoe life, the God kind and the God quality of life. God doesn't want you to die, but there are certain things in your life that has to die, and it won't be God's promise. God is not in the business of giving promises to kill the promises. Your promises are supposed to be generational. And so then it says that Abraham looked up, catch this part, and he saw a ram. Listen to this. He did not see a sheep. Remember, him and his son said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering. But there was not a sheep that was inside of that bush. There was a ram that was caught in the bush by his horns, and it couldn't get out. And Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. See, many of you have been looking for the way out of nowhere. You've been looking for your ram in the bush, but you've been mistaking God because you've been saying, God, send me a sheep. And God said, I'm sending you a sheep. I got a ram. And if you're looking for sheep, you're going to miss me. The ram has horns that can be entangled, that can stay and be caught up long enough for you to be able to go and grasp it, and it will be the provision that you've been waiting for. But if you are looking for God to do things the way that he's always done it in your life, or the way that you want him to do it in your life, or the way that you think that he traditionally should do it in your life, you will miss him. They just knew that they knew that they knew that there was going to be a sheep, and God said, I don't got a sheep, I got a ram for you. What I'm doing in this new season, the reason why it's going to be uncommon favor, because it's not going to look like anything of the past. I'm not going to allow this to look familiar to you. I'm not going to allow this to be comfortable for you. I'm not going to allow you to have a prior blueprint for this. This is why you're going to have to listen to the sound of my instructions. Because you, if you look for me in one way and I'm calling you to come in another direction, you're going to miss me, and you're going to miss the blessing that is tied to it. Your uncommon favor is not what you're in pursuit of. What you're in pursuit of is listening to the sound of God and obeying it, because your obedience is always attached to a ram in the bush. There is always a blessing attached to your obedience, and there is always a produce attached to the process. If you keep rejecting, if you keep rebuking the process, you won't get to the promise, or you won't get to the produce. There is a ram in this set day and hour that is awaiting for you, but you got to declare that it's a ram and not a sheep. You got to declare that it's a new thing and not the way that you formerly known it. You got to be willing to expand your mind and hear God in and through the spirit, not in and through your commonality of what you knew of him before. He says, I'm doing a new thing. It's not new to me, but it's new to you, because it's not going to make sense. 1 + 1 is not going to equal 2. That's not uncommon favor. But the uncommon favor is going to be your byproduct, because you was willing to do something uncommon. You was willing to go down a road that was unfamiliar. You were willing willing to hang out in a group of people to be the light in the midst of the darkness, where in the traditional realm, you will be considered a heretic, that you be considered hanging with those who are the called out, or those who are the canceled out. But God says, if you're willing to go in the direction that I'm calling you, that's going to seem sacrificial and that's going to cost you something, what I'm going to repay and what I'm going to give you back won't even compare to what you had to do, what you had to give up. This is the time and the season for us to not just trust God, but follow his instructions. And when he followed his instructions, the very thing he thought he was going to get, he didn't get. There was no sheep, but there was a ram. That ram was used in the place of his son. So he got his son and he was able to get the sheep, the ram. Now listen to this, because the ram represented the promise for generations to come. The ram wasn't just about having a sacrificial offering right there and right then. The lamb represented his obedience. And because of his obedience, that obedience unlocked the uncommon favor for generations to come. See, there are many people, and I won't even say many of you, we'll just keep it generalized. There are many people who will not follow the voice and the sound of God because it's too unfamiliar, it's too uncomfortable, and they don't realize from them not listening to the voice of God that doesn't seem right or doesn't match up with their religion or their tradition, that they are keeping stoppage and blockage to generations receiving blessings. See, many people are rebuking the devil and thinking the devil is stopping, blocking, but in essence, you not listening to the instructions of God is stopping and blocking generational wealth, generational blessings, generational freedom in certain areas that have seemed like it goes through one generation to the next generation. That's not always the enemy just coming and attacking. Most of the time it's the disobedience, because what you've been asked to do is so sacrificial, you're not willing to count up the cost and go in that direction. But I'm here to tell you on tonight, if you are willing to go into the untapped territories, uncharted territories for you, ways that you have never known before, if you're willing to step out in places that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable, there will be a ram in the bush that is waiting for you. And that ram represents uncommon favor, not just for you, but for your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And if you don't have children, for all of those whose lives that you're supposed to make a difference and an impact, this is supposed to live beyond you. Your obedience is to stabilize so that what he blesses you sustains you, remains you, and it proceeds you even when you're no longer on this earth. He says that because you have obeyed and you did not refuse. Listen to this key word, because many believers are refusing and rebuking the perfect will and plan of God because it's uncomfortable. But he said, because you did not refuse to give me your son, your dear son, how I'll bless you, how well I will bless you indeed. He said, I'll make sure, that's a promise, that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sands on the beach. You can't count the stars. You can't count the sand. In essence, he's saying everything will be blessed from here on out because of your obedience. Your obedience is tied to uncommon favor. Stop looking for the uncommon favor. Look for the acceptance and the direction of obeying the word of God, the instructions of God. And he said, all nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you did what? You obeyed me. Obedience is following the instructions. Obedience is not perfect attendance in what we call the church. Obedience is not, oh, I fasted and I pray. Obedience is not, I say hallelujah and amen at the right cue. Obedience is listening to the sound of God that seems unfamiliar and uncomfortable. And then it says he went back to his servants. They got their things together and returned to their land. And bonus, when they returned to their land, immediately he got news that his brother had already gave birth, which means that there was already multiplication. There were already more descendants being birthed. Remember, he went from Abram, the father of not any, to Abraham, the father of many. And now his family was birthed, and now his family was blessed. The blessing had already hit the land before he even got back. I'm here to let you know as we close out on tonight that there is a blessing that is attached to your obedience that is going to hit your family. Families that's going to hit your business, that's going to hit everything that your hands touch, everything that you're attached to. It will be blessed, not because you are so great, but because you are willing to obey. And when you obey, you unlock the uncommon favor, you unlock the righteousness of God, you unlock the full manifestation of God's power to be released, not just for you, but for generations to come. So you got to declare that I'm going to be a generational builder, I'm going to be a generational changer. No longer
longer am I going to leave the next generation bankrupt because I failed to listen to the sound and the voice of God because it's unfamiliar. It is time for you to get out of your comfort zone and go into the place of his voice. Follow his lead because it's always going to lead you to your place of better. And there is always a ram in the bush that will represent the blessing for you and everyone that is connected to you. Are you ready for that tonight? Are you ready to keep on marching even though this is the last day of March? Are you willing to let March be your new normal for you to keep on marching to the sound and the beat of the drum of the kingdom in your mind, in your conversations, and in your actions? So the very thing that you once thought was going to take you to the tomb, it was just a womb experience. He was just preparing you in the dark. So when you can follow his lead, he can present you to the world. When he presents you to the world, he's presenting you as one who follows, one who listens, one who may do it with tears in their eyes, one who does it without having full understanding. But one thing that you do have, you have full assurance and insurance that if he said it, you believe it, and that settles it. Because if he said it, that means it's already done. I want you to shout, it's already done. Uncommon favor is not what I'm looking for. Uncommon favor is my birthright, and my obedience unlocks the door to me to receive that which was already prepared for me, already predestined for me, already pre-purposed for me. It is time for us to march and march and march. Keep on moving. Keep on going in the direction that he's calling us to go in. Keep on reaching out to the unchurched. Keep on reaching out to the least, the lost, and the left behind so that we can be the light and we can be the salt, so that we can make an impact and a difference, and we can build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Are you ready for that tonight? Well, if you're ready for that tonight, I want you to begin to condition your heart as we move over into our time of worship. Even in this passage, Abraham told his servants, stay here. Me and my son are going to worship. How many of you can say that if God is telling you to do something so sacrificial that it seems catastrophic, that it seems like it's going to be the death of you, it seems like it's going to take the life out of you, how many of you can still worship in the midst of chaos, in the midst of what it can seem challenges, in the midst of what seems like stress and drama at the same time? How many of you can say that we are going to worship when he's calling you to do something that you've never done before, something that you don't want to do, something that you don't even take joy inside of the action, but you know your obedience is going to lock the key to people being blessed around you, your family being blessed, those who have been held up in bondage being blessed? So as we get ready to go into worship in and through giving, I want you to condition your heart for a ram in the bush seat on tonight. I don't want you to give according to what your set circumstance is financially. I want you to give according to how you know God has already pre-positioned and prepared that ram for you. That ram is your provision. That ram is going to be the thing that takes you out and over into your place of abundance, your place of overflow, your place of more than enough. You got to start giving from the place that you want to go to. You got to start giving according to how you want to grow. You got to go in the direction you want to grow. Stop living in comfortability. Stop living in familiarity. That will be a sure way and a sure sign for you to have death. But God is not in death. He is in life, even in the area of your finances. And many people don't see abundance in the area of finance, and they say, but I gave and I'm a giver. But there are sometimes when God may say, hey, give that $500. You say, I'll give $50. You're negotiating with God and say, you don't understand. If I'm pulling, tugging, and telling you to give, and that pull and tug, it's not a force. That is just a condition on your heart of leading, guiding, and directing you that, hey, this is your seat that's going to meet the need, so that your needs won't have needs any longer, and that now you can be a generational blesser instead of leaving generations bankrupt because you won't fulfill the assignment through the instructions that he's given. So I want you to get a ram in the bush seat on tonight, a seat that you know is sacrificial, a seat that you know that's going to be given in the place that you want to grow, not from where you come from, not according to your fixed income, not according to your deficits, but according to that place that he has given unto Abraham, that said your children will be like stars and they will be like the beaches. You want to be in that financial abundance place that you will need a money counter just to be able to tell you what your current status is, what your current amount that you have is. You will need several accountants just to be able to put all of your harvest together. That's the status that God wants you to have, not for the sake of status, but for the sake of fulfillment of the assignment, so that others can see the power of God working in and through you. Are you ready for that tonight? Well, we're going to get ready to pray as you get ready to give, and we're going to go out of here just rejoicing and thanking God that he has given us the opportunity to revisit this passage so that we can reposition ourselves to hear the instructions and to then follow the instructions and then receive the uncommon favor that's going to come from us being obedient. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you and thank you and honor you on this day. We thank you that you have given us a greater and a refresher revelation of what it is that you're calling for us to do inside of this season. And that is to intently listen to the sound of your voice that will call us into places of uncomfortability, that will call us inside of groups and places and people that seem unfamiliar, that don't look like us, don't sound like us, don't act like us, but you put us to be as a light in the place of darkness, not to condemn man, but to be able to show them that there is better that lies in store for them. We thank you that you're uniting us together with greater love, courts of love that cannot be broken, that Father, we will further walk in the power of agreement and the power of partnership, the way that Isaac and Abraham was able to do, even though they were still going through so much stress and trauma and obstacles at home, that Father, they still followed your instructions, and in return, they were blessed immeasurably. In return, we are blessed because of his obedience, and Father, for that, we thank you. And Father, we also come before you submitting and surrendering every time that we did not follow your will, that we did not follow your way, that we tried to negotiate with you, we tried to talk you out of what you want to do or what you wanted us to do for you sacrificially. Father, we declare that if you said it, we will believe it, we will do it, and we will see the results and the manifestation. Father, every void area, we declare that it will be filled, that they will live in fulfillment, they will live in abundance, because they will listen and they will follow and they will receive that which you have in return. And that's full provision. That is full peace. That is full joy. That is full fulfillment of the purpose, the mission, and the assignment that is set before us right here and right now. All of these things, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. And it is so, and it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, wherever you are, just begin to give God a ram in the bush praise. Don't praise him because I'm telling you. Praise him because now you understand the power of listening and follow instructions, and that when he blesses you, when you get your provision, that it's not just for you, but this provision will be generational. This provision will be for your globe. This blessing will be for your local, for your state, our country, and for the world. God wants to do something in and through you and in and through us worldwide. This is why he has given us the name change. The way he gave Abram and Sarai the name to Sarah and Abraham, he's calling us to be called Better Life, the Movement Worldwide, because he wants us to make a worldwide impact and difference to show people that if they follow and listen the sound of the beat of the drum of the kingdom, that they will have better and that they will have the fullness of the uncommon favor that is a part of their benefit birthright package plan. Are you ready for that? Well, let's get ready to go and let's put this into action. Let's put this in practice and let's live the better life, the life of fulfillment, the life full of overflow. God bless you all and join us tomorrow morning for our 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time Create the Day morning prayer cast. Have a blessed night.